Welcome to the second new season of Song of the Week. In this program, Priel and I,
hi Priel, my wife,
Shalom.
And hi, I, Dan Rakovsky, both Shlichim in Toronto. I don't think we need to introduce ourselves again. We introduce one Israeli song every week. We listen to the song together. We will play the song in a minute. We have English translation, English subtitles added to the song, so don't worry, no prior knowledge in Hebrew is needed at all. And we talk, discuss the meaning of the story, the meaning of the song, the story behind the song, the history behind the song, the poet, the performer, everything that they try to connect a little bit into Israeli culture. In this season, we have those of you who participated in last time and in the last season before Pesach. You know, we bring both, I would say, contemporary songs and some old-fashioned songs. We brought last time Aviv Geffen on the one hand, which is Israeli modern rock, and on the other side, we brought, for example, Erev Shel Shoshanim, right? Evening of Roses, for example. So we bring all kinds of styles of music, and this is what we're going to do once a week, every Monday, 7:30, and we hope you're going to enjoy tonight and every other night of this program. So without any further notice, please make sure you're all muted during the listening of the song. We will listen to the song now, and then before we will finish the session, we will re-listen to the song after our discussion. So make sure your speakers are on and you are all muted. And here we go. So the song today is called "Waiting to Messiah."
She
Okay, hello everyone. I see some more people joined us during the song. Don't worry, we will re-listen to the song at the end of our class. So first of all, just to just to make everyone, don't be nervous. We're sitting here. We're not saying Messiah is not coming. Don't worry, Mashiach is coming. B'ezrat Hashem, very soon. But we'll talk about the song. Priyal, do you want to kick off with the name of the song and this rock and roll?
By Shalom Chanoch.
Let's share the screen so we can see the lyrics as usual and the pictures. Let's do that. Here we go.
I feel that the song is a story about situation.
It is. So the song is
Waiting for Messiah.
Written, composed, and performed by Shalom Chanoch. This song is from 1985. We brought something from mid-80s, 1985. That's a long story that Shalom Chanoch wrote. We'll talk about the story, the meaning. What is the Mashiach, the Messiah here? What is it trying to convey here? We'll not go through the lyric. It's a lot, many, many lyrics, but you can follow that. You will re-listen to the song and then follow the story a little bit. There's different characters sitting in this kind of a room, whatever wherever that is, and looks like there is kind of tension. They're waiting for a person named Messiah, or maybe that's the Messiah, but he's not going to come. There is a police officer coming in, saying there was an accident to the country. Messiah jumped from the roof. He died. He's not going to be there anymore. He's not going to come. What is this very pessimistic kind of song? We'll start, I think, Priyal. Maybe we'll start with a historical background, and then we'll move a little bit to talk about the song itself. Martin, you have something to say?
No.
Oh, no problem. So, this is Shalom Chanoch. This is the modern picture of Shalom Chanoch. He's 75 now. This is the album, the cover of the album, Waiting for Messiah. You can see the cigarettes that he's talking about from the song. There's smoke. They're sitting together. The song, as we said, was released in 1985. Now, it was written in 1984. And Israel of 1982 and 1983 was a very difficult place to live in. There were two major, I would say, events that changed Israeli society back then and forever, actually. First one was in June of 1982, First Lebanon War. Some of you probably remember, or in Hebrew it's called Milchemet Shlom HaGalil, the Peace of the Galil, that's how it's called, 1982. We'll talk about the war in a second, what's the connection between the war and the song. And the other event that probably you've never heard of, and now this is something that we will be mechachim, is the Israeli bank stock crisis of 1983. That was the worst financial crisis in Israel ever of all times. And we will talk about it also. But those two events that really changed and shaped Israel on the early 80s, that is the song that this is. Those are the events that the song is talking about. In other words, the song is a protest song against the government that was in charge and responsible for two of the disasters of the beginning of the 80s in Israel. One was more in terms of security, and the other one more in terms of economy and finance. We'll talk about each of them in a second, but Priel, maybe you want to add something regarding the song itself and the melody.
I just want to add, first of all, about Shalom Chanoch, that also in Israel it was a bad situation in the most of the years, but also Shalom Chanoch in this time made two albums that was really not good, and then he
released
this song as, and it changed everything.
That's the song that turned him famous?
Ken.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. After a long time that he was not good. Also, he changed the type of the songs from Israeli nice song to rock classic. The people in Israel didn't really like that. So this song was something to say, I want to say something. I want to tell you a story, a bad story, but I want to say that aloud. And it was a different type of song that he started to do.
Yeah, I mean, you usually would not listen to political protest kind of songs on the radio back then, and he actually was the first one that said, wait, why not, why can a masterpiece be also a political protest against the government that was back then? Also, we know that the song was not intended to be...
Okay.
Yeah.
So upbeat. At the beginning, this song needed to be calm and something, you know, to talk about the Mashiach, and we want the Mashiach to come back.
He's not a religious person, here. Yeah, just to make sure.
Yeah. And then with a lot of mistakes, it happens that the song will be something more rock and more with ketzev.
More upbeat, yeah.
Beat.
Just by a mistake in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a mistake. It was supposed to be a much more calm song, but it was upbeat, in other words. But anyhow, this is what it turned. It turned to be one of the most famous protest songs in Israel. But who is he actually talking about? Who is the Mashiach that they're looking for? So first of all, some might say this is a regular Mashiach that we all pray, daven for, that we want the religious Mashiach to come. But actually what he is referring to as a Mashiach would be just a good government. Just a one, you know, be a good government that can come and make Israel a better place to live in and can actually make the things as good as they're supposed to be. Now, he's referring to three very important characters in Israel history. First of all, Menachem Begin, Prime Minister Menachem Begin, they probably know and heard of. Back then, the Minister of Defense was Ariel Sharon, who would later on be Israel's Prime Minister as well. And this fellow right over here is Rafael Eitan. Raful, he was chief of staff. And this was the head of the government of the state of Israel. And back then, those two crises. And the second crisis actually was not Menachem Begin. The financial crisis, the prime minister was Shimon Peres back then. But they are the three that were, they were the captains of Israel during the First Lebanon War. And we'll talk a little bit about the First Lebanon War maybe in a minute. But I do want to focus on the Israeli bank crisis that he's referring to, where he says, we can see it also in the lyrics actually, where Shalom Chanoch is saying over here, there is a policeman for, where is that? Here, they brought a policeman, Yerucham, one of his friends, is saying that there is policemen, they don't send policemen for nothing. Probably there was an accident, Mashiach is not coming. And they asked who had an accident, the Azrieli, the son. The country had an accident, not a person. The country had an accident. The government made an accident to the country. Something bad happened to the country. It's not our fault. Their leaders in the government that made it happen. Answers the poor cop. The stock market failed. People are jumping from the rooftops. Now we need to understand what happened. There were back then four major banks in Israel. Not going to tell their names, probably some of them you know. If you lived in Israel during the 70s, 80s, then probably remember names like Bank Hapoalim, maybe Bank Discount, maybe Bank Leumi. Those kind of banks are still the largest banks in Israel until today. And those four banks, what they did, as you can read also in the New York Times, it appears in the front of the New York Times in October 29th, 1984. For the first time since the founding of the Israeli state in 1948, written in the New York Times, an economic crisis much more than any immediate military threat has come to preoccupy the nation. The banks were actually running stocks with each other. They tried to sell as many stocks as possible I'm not an economical person, I'm not going to try to understand what exactly happened, but in other words, they bought their own stocks so the price of each stock will rise up more and more people will buy the stocks. And eventually what happened is that all the people, many of the public bought those kind of stocks and they weren't worth the amount that the people paid. And this caused all the banks to actually become what is called to nationalize. They were private banks, but they were all the four major banks in Israel were nationalized, and they were then under the government. And many people lost many of their savings, of their retirement savings, of their everything. That I had asked actually my grandmother before we started, before she went to sleep. It was 2-3 hours ago in Israel. I called her to ask if she remembers this case, and she said, yeah, I had a bank account in Dizengoff Center in Tel Aviv, in Bank Hapoalim, and when that happened, I went down and I asked my the person that stood there in the bank what I can do because I have savings. She said, Baruch Hashem, she wasn't so impacted, but we know from stories that many Israelis lost almost all their savings, and many people jumped from the roof because of that. That was a very horrible thing that happened back then. I also brought this short cartoon by dry bones. You can read it if you want. That back then people thought by buying in the stock market or the stocks of the banks, everything would be better. But this did not happen, and this is something that really changed Israel's society economically back then. And Shalom Chanoch is talking about it. And people are jumping from the roof. He's referring, first of all, to the people that actually lost it, but also the Messiah. There is no one that can come and save us. We're here only for ourselves, only by ourselves, only we can try and save ourselves from whatever there is. We cannot trust anyone else. There is no one to trust. There is no one to help us in that sense. He also quotes, and you can see here in the lyrics, he says that the financial, where is that? Here. Awful December, that's how they called there back there, the December, that was the December also from the war. They cried the newspaper headline, and the Minister of Finance gave an interview in Mabat. Mabat was the only news during the day in Israel, only there was one channel, there was one news at 8, I think it was 7:30 or 8, I don't remember. And the Minister of Finance gave there an interview, and he said, the crowd, the public is an idiot, and that is why the public, the crowd, will pay. That's what he said, and he added this sentence to this quote to the to his song. What the minister tried to say that it's your fault that you bought the stocks from the bank. You should not have done that, and that's why we, as a government, we will not try to help you. It took years until they even tried to put those people in jail. So this is the minister of economics. He was Yoram Adir-Aridor. He's still alive. He said the public is stupid, so the public will pay. This is one of the most famous sentences in Israeli culture. unfortunately, so far.
Something.
Yes, in that sense.
Also, I want to add that this song is something that when you open the radio in Israel, you don't really can find this song. I don't know, I never heard in the radio this song, but everyone, almost everyone really know this song in Israel. Actually, I don't know how. I don't know where I heard this song, but I feel that it's a song that nobody playing the radio and nobody want to hear this song. But when we hear that, I know this song. And almost everyone, I don't know if Ortal here, maybe she will say that also. I think she knows this song because everyone here
In Israel
really knows.
They know the song, the protest song. That's, yeah. I think maybe the fact that it's not so much played on the radio anymore, it's because it's a very harsh song. I mean, if the radio station decides to put this song on, that means they're trying to convey a political message. And that's a little bit of a problem today in Israel to try and convey a political message to one of the sides. So it was a very political kind of song. Also, I would say that it's very much affiliated with the left side. It's a protest against the right-wing kind of government that was there, also against the banks, the capitalist kind of banking and everything that happened back there. And trying, as Shalom Chanuch was born, you're right, in a kibbutz.
Nahon.
Yeah, he came from a very, I would say, what is called socialist kind of background where everyone working for everyone. No, you're not trying to be a pig by earning more money than others. And all this system of banking and whatever they've done, that the banks have done to their clients, that's very, it's something that he's very, I think he despises. And you can see it from the song that he despises very, very, very much. I would just add that those two fellows that you see over here, Yaakov Levinson and Ernest Yefet, they were the two people that were actually in charge of what happened back then in 1983. Yaakov Levinson, he was the head of Bank Poalim, as you can see. Ernest Yefet, head of Bank Leumi. Ernest Yefet was charged to jail. I think it was 2 years in jail. Eventually, they changed it. He just got removed from his position, and he didn't sit actually in jail, and he moved to New York, and he died in New York several years later. He just went out of Israel. He was one of the most hated persons in Israel. Yaakov Levinson did not sit in jail just because he shot himself the moment this thing happened. He was the head of Bank Hapoalim, and he just decided that he will not bear everything that happened, so he just shot himself, and that's how this entire thing ended. And again, I asked my grandmother, and she said it's one of the disasters that people, you know, sometimes they forget, but that generation don't forget it, because they really, really, really it was painful for them, because they lost their savings, years and years of savings, because what has happened here. We unfortunately didn't have time to talk about the First Lebanon War, but this is also something that happened at the beginning of the 80s, June 82 to, I think that was September 82, 3 months of war that was in a very, I would say, the Israeli public were very critical towards this kind of war. One of the most, I would say, wars that Israel is don't really know if they won or if they won or maybe didn't win back then. Just because, first of all, we lost, I think, over 600 soldiers only on those three months in Lebanon. And also because we didn't even win, because we just rose Hezbollah. If you heard of Hezbollah, the Lebanon terror organization, it was established right after this war. And Israeli actually stayed in Lebanon for 17 more years. After this war, all the way until 2001, where Israel, that was the first time Israel just said, we're going to go out of Lebanon, we're not going to stay in Lebanon. On those 17 years, more 600 more soldiers were killed, a total of 1,200 soldiers because of that war and everything that came afterwards. So it's one of the wars that we don't really know if we won or didn't, when we know the price that we paid as a nation is a very, very severe price. And this also comes from this, hearing that, in that song, some say interpretation that the people in the song are actually soldiers after what happened. They're young guys, you know, he's interested in Yardena, the beautiful Yardena. He's not married anymore. They're young people that served in the army during this, and then all their savings from the army they lost everything. So that young generation back then really, really suffered from the government actions. And Shalom Chanuch, when he wrote down the song and he released it, it became a hit like that because he was the voice of that generation. And they were very angry on the government. And this is a protest song that we have until today that is, some would say, even more relevant than ever. So this is Messiah is not coming. Messiah is not even calling. Mashiach lo ba, Mashiach gam lo metalfen. He's not calling. He's not coming. He jumped from the roof. And this is because of the accident that happened in the for the country. Before we will re-listen to the song, Priel, anything else?
Just now when you will hear the song again, pay attention about the open beat.
The beat,
okay,
yeah.
So every bite...
Every chorus.
Thank you. We have something that, okay, we wait for something. What's happened? What's happened? And nothing. And Shalom Chanoch really want this beat to make us to want something.
Like an anticlimax.
Mashiach.
There is an anticlimax of the... Yeah.
To want the Mashiach and nobody comes. So now here's the tune, here's the beat more with the patient. Because there is something there.
Listen,
it was with a mistake, but then there is a lot of something to say
exactly.
About
exactly. Any question before we play the song? Okay. All right, we'll be here also after the song. So here we go. Messiah isn't coming. We're waiting for Messiah by Shalom Chanoch. Follow the story. Some people say he looks like Bruce Springsteen. Think about it. That's Bruce Springsteen. Some say he do, some he doesn't. This is the newspaper back then, what happened in the crisis in Israel. The newspaper. Thank you.
שלם בגדול.